Thank you very much. Good day and welcome everybody to the 9-month conference call for Sartorius and Sartorius Stadium Biotech. We had a pre-information already a couple of days back, but nevertheless, I think a couple of more and more detailed information, in particular about our 9-month performance and our full year's outlook. So therefore, I would like to immediately jump into the topic by walking you through the results for the Sartorius Group, and then thereafter, I also will present the SSB figures. So I would like to start by highlighting maybe five aspects of the actual business. First of all, I think one can say that we are continuing to achieve profitable growth in a environment that is a little bit challenging from some market aspects, some specific customer aspects as well in the bioprocess environment, and then also with unfavorable FX effects. We see a very strong performance of our lab division growing above 20%, and this consists out of both strong organic growth as well as a good performance of the recent acquisitions here. We then definitely are not achieving our initial targets for bioprocess for this year, but because of three temporary effects, we believe that the underlying market drivers are fully intact. But however, because of these temporary effects, we also have adjusted our full year's guidance for the division and therefore also for the Sartorius Group. But we do confirm our midterm outlook and targets. The figures in more detail, the key P&L figures look as the following. We have achieved 8.6% growth in constant currencies for the sales revenues. Order intake was up by 11.4%. I think also in comparison to publications of competitors during the last couple of days, I think we feel comfortable in saying that we are basically performing at the same level. We have seen a very strong order intake in Q3. For sure, in comparison to relatively low comps, but just as we announced 3 months back when we were posting rather low growth in order intake against extremely strong comps. So I think this proves that the fundamentals are as we always have announced them and projected them. Underlying EBITDA is up just by 7.3% because quite some dilution because of currency effect. The EBITDA margin is down by 0.2 percentage points and would rather have been slightly above previous year's figure if we did not have the substantial weakening of the dollar in particular during Q3. Underlying earnings per share is up also just slightly by 6.8% to €1.55 for the period. CapEx ratio, the only non-P&L related but also important key figure for us, is just as projected at 13.6%. As you know, we are now in one of the two most intense CapEx the 2 years that are the most intense in regards to our investments. So now I would like to turn the perspective to the regions, and this already shows where we have seen some unfavorable temporary effects, and that's the Americas, just up by 1 percentage point and even down in bioprocess. And this is because basically all three effects are mainly or only relevant for the Americas. I will talk about that in a minute when I discuss the bioprocess figures. The strongest region is Asia-Pacific, very much driven by the strong performance of bioprocess, as we have seen earlier this year. So I would say the main message here is really about the Americas, but it makes much more sense to discuss that along our bioprocess figures right now. Bioprocess. In Bioprocess, we have achieved just 4.1% top line growth in constant currencies. Here again, the very important message, I think, is that other than after 6 months, now order intake has grown stronger for the full 9 months, which indicates that order intake growth in Q3 as such was clearly double-digit. Again, I would like to say against rather moderate comps other than after 6 months, but it clearly indicates that also when you take a look at the absolute figures, where order intake is 50 million euros higher than sales revenues, then you can see that we still have, I would say, basically healthy momentum in this important business for us. Now let's talk about the negative effects that I mentioned before. There are two that have been just relevant for North America. One is that in the course of Hurricane Maria, we haven't been able to deliver goods out of the Puerto Rican plant. This had an impact of around 7 million euros for the quarter. Then we unfortunately still are facing supply bottlenecks in the cell culture media domain, because our partner here can't deliver goods out of, or just about to start production again, I should say, in their North American plant. These two effects have just been relevant for the Americas. The third one is that we are seeing that a couple of larger biopharma accounts are running down their inventory levels. This is not only playing a role for North America or in North America, but it plays quite some role here at some larger accounts, but it also affects Europe to some extent. That explains why indeed the Americas has been hit the hardest by these three temporary effects. It should be noted that this also within a context of very strong growth and high comps in the U.S., where we have seen very significant double-digit growth over the last couple of years on average. Of course, I should add a comment regarding the EBITDA margin. This is down by 0.4 percentage points, and it would have been on previous year's level approximately, if there would not have been adverse currency effects. LPS continues to grow very dynamically. Here also we have seen a very significant growth in order intake in Q3. This sums up to almost 25% of order intake growth for the 9 months. Sales revenue is up by 21.8%, and the profitability is also up significantly and as expected, basically, even though we also here see some adverse currency effects. What you can read from the two bullet points below those graphs is also that organic growth, as I said earlier in this call, is also very healthy at around 7%, and the recent acquisitions perform up to our expectations and contribute around 15% of top line growth. Now I would like to briefly discuss some other financial results, particularly those regarding cash flow. You can see that our financial result has been influenced to quite some extent by valuation effects. That always plays a role when currencies are fluctuating a little bit stronger in a quarter that you can see here. Then, of course, the investing cash flow has been substantially been influenced by the two acquisitions of this year, but that is not differently to what we have shown already after 6 months. The two acquisitions of Essen and U-Metrics account for most of what you can see here in the net investing cash flow. Then, of course, we see also an intense CapEx activity, as I mentioned earlier. The key financial indicators are, of course, also very much influenced by the two acquisitions in particular, and that is, A, the equity ratio, which is lower than at the beginning of the year, as well as the net debt to underlying EBITDA ratio, of course, is higher than at the beginning of the year. 2.7, nevertheless, is a very robust level, and we expect that this figure should be a bit lower again towards the end of the year. So our guidance, as I said before, and as we communicated earlier, a couple of days back, we adjusted, we also are changing a bit the format of our profitability guidance, and I comment this in a minute. So for sales revenue, we now expect for Bioprocess, given the unfavorable effects that I was explaining before, just around 4% of top-line growth for the full year, while for LPS, we expect to land pretty much in the middle of our the bandwidth that we were targeting for at around 22%, and that sums up to around 9% top-line growth for the Sartorius Group. This is in constant currencies, and that is, I think, very easy to track and to follow, given all the other information that we constantly provide. For the margin, we have decided to give the full year's guidance now as we are approaching year end, in actual currencies. And this is because otherwise, frankly, because of our corrective actions in regards to our cost structure, we would have basically said for Bioprocess as well as for the Sartorius Group that we are pretty much achieving what we have said at the beginning of the year. But I think this would be a bit misleading given the fact that we have a different currency regime at the moment. And therefore, we said, well, in actual currencies, we are expecting around 28% or around previous year's figure as a profitability. But please note, this includes already the unfavorable currency effect. For LPS, we confirm the 18% despite the currency, and again, for the Sartorius Group, we then expect now around 25%, so around the same figure like for the full year 2016, including already the adverse currency effects. CapEx ratio, we expect pretty much rather in the upper half or at the upper end of the range of 12 to 15%. And we confirm our midterm outlook, particularly our 2020 targets. And as we discussed during the earlier calls this year, after 6 months and I think also after 3 months we were talking about that, we are intending to provide an outlook beyond the year 2020 in the first quarter of next year. I now would like to also talk briefly about the results for Sartorius Steel and Biotech. Here, of course, all qualitative comments apply that I have been giving for Bioprocess before, so therefore I would like to focus just on the figures. For order intake, for the order intake, we are up by 6.3% in constant currencies after a healthy growth in the third quarter. Sales revenue, though, is just up by 3.3%, pretty much because of the disappointing situation of these temporary effects, and therefore the decline of sales revenues in the Americas, as you can see on the next page. Again, of course, Asia has driven growth here very much for the Sartorius Steel and Biotech Group. And what I think can be said is that here the cash flow performance, again, is very robust. We translate the profits quite nicely into operating cash flow. The net investing cash flow, of course, is also higher than the year before because of the acquisition of U-Metrics and some investments into additional capacities. Nevertheless, the financial position of the Sartorius Steel and Biotech Group remains very strong with an equity ratio higher than 60% and still a very low net debt to underlying EBITDA at just 0.5. Also here, I would like to talk about the adjusted 2017 guidance. We expect full year's growth for 2017 also of around 4%. So unfortunately, substantially lower than initially expected because of the temporary effects. We expect the underlying EBITDA margin to be around the same figure than last year. And this again now includes the negative and dilutive currency effects that also play a role here. And we expect the CapEx ratio to be within the bandwidth of 10 to 13%, but also probably rather at the upper end here. And also for Sartorius State and Biotech, we confirm our 2020 targets. Also here, we of course will provide a longer-term outlook in a couple of months' time. And the reason, maybe let me finish my explanations here by saying the reason why we confirm our targets is simply because we see all fundamental drivers of the market and of our positioning has been fully intact, but I'm sure we'll discuss this now in the Q&A. Thank you for your attention so far.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please leave the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of William March with Janey Montgomery Scott. Please go ahead.
Hi, Joachim. How are you? First question is, within bioproduction, on the growth in order, are you seeing a difference between customers in terms of ordering pattern or growth for systems versus consumables or single-use products?
No, I mean, we of course, always see a certain volatility when it comes to bigger projects. Other than in last year, where we have received larger projects, particularly in the second quarter, we now have not such or not so many larger projects in our order intake, whereas we have a couple of those that we have got last year and started to execute last year, still in execution, so to say. So therefore, there is a certain difference. But nevertheless, keep in mind that we are talking about 25% of our business here, roughly, where we see a certain shift and fluctuation. Whereas the big chunk of our business is the single-use business, and here we don't see such strong differences or such strong fluctuations.
Okay. And then maybe just with what's happened in Puerto Rico and a number of your customers having manufacturing sites, are you seeing any issues in terms of their ordering pattern or them having to consider maybe moving manufacturing to a facility in a different geography? I'm just curious if the issues that have been going on there are going to linger into 4Q.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So first of all, just where do we stand today? We are back to full operations there on the island. It indeed has taken a while until the particularly electricity supply, but then also the transportation was fully available again, and that was a part and the main part even for also some delay of deliveries out of Puerto Rico that we have to reduce now again because our facility as such was back to availability very quickly after the hurricane. We, of course, also observe very much in how far, and I think that's your question, customers who run facilities on the island are affected. Our understanding is that all of them have been affected to some extent for basically the same reasons. All of them are basically also making good progress in getting back to normal operations. And I, as far as we can see, and we haven't got any other information, all of them are planning to go back to full normal operations. So we have no indications that anybody is planning to, whatever, close down their facilities on the island or so. If this would happen, this should rather, again, have maybe temporary effect in the sense of, you know, like always when you have such activities going on, may have, but in general, we are rather, our products are specified into certain production production lines, regardless where they are located. So we, as of today, would not expect any impact here.
All right, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Gianmarco Bonazzina with Equita. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Just a question on the inventory level among your clients. Can you say what kind of visibility do you have in terms of months of inventory that the client have, what you consider to be a normal inventory level, and to which extent we can expect this destocking to end in the fourth quarter, or maybe take a little bit longer in 2018, considering that in the last couple of years, so 2015 and 16, we have seen very, very strong growth, so maybe like double the normal rate, which may be caused by, let's say, a restocking, which is now is going the other way. Thank you.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think one has to say and admit that the visibility and the transparency here is really limited, not only for us, but also for, I think, other players in the industry. And that, and therefore, I would not feel comfortable in making any firm statement here, I have to say. What I can say is that I don't see that the destocking that we see at some clients is related to any substantially different end market expectations on their end. We rather think that this is predominantly really an optimization of their internal stock levels, and therefore that relatively soon we should expect a normalization. But maybe really bear with us until we will publish our full year's figures for 17 and then also give our outlook for 2018, where we then try to factor this in as precisely as we will be able to do so at that point in time. But again, the visibility, the transparency of stock levels at customers is limited for us and I think also for other suppliers.
Okay, just a quick follow-up. In terms of, let's say, a rough benchmark, would you say it is possible that the inventory level could be at some clients even higher than 1 year, or normally we can say these are only a few months?
Our experience is that the policies here and the practice is very different at different customers. And even within one and the same customer, it may be different for different, for instance, points in the product life cycle. At the beginning of a ramp up, the stocking may be more conservative and lead to higher stock levels, whereas later in a more stabilized phase, it might be run at a lower level. So therefore, again, I think it's maybe differently to industries like maybe, you know, the car industry, where you see very much just in time deliveries of components and such, the pharmaceutical industry is operating according to, I would say, different logics and mechanisms. And it's not easy to say it's this or that pattern and this or that average stock level. You really see quite different approaches here.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Patrick Jochumet with Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You mentioned Puerto Rico, the €7 million in Q3. So should we consider that this is over, there is nothing more to expect on Q4? And same question on Cell Culture Media. If I remember well, the negative impact was around €10 million in sales in H1. What was the impact on Q3? Should we expect something on Q4? What is the situation regarding this Cell Culture Media business, please?
Yeah, to the first question, that is right. Maybe just some more color to that picture. Puerto Rico, the hurricane has hit the island roughly a week, a little bit more than a week before the end of the quarter or so. That has led to the €7 million euros of backlog. It has taken a bit longer until deliveries from the island were possible again, and the full restart of the supply chain there was possible. So therefore, we were starting to run down this backlog from a higher level than the €7 million, but should be able to run it down to approximately the same level by the end of the year, and we are quite confident that we will be back to full normal early next year. All this in a very close cooperation with customers. So we have been in very close contact with all customers right from the beginning, and there are no negative surprises to be expected for customers, and therefore I think all this will happen in full alignment with customers. So therefore, the net effect in the fourth quarter will be pretty much zero in Puerto Rico. You wanted to add a question to that?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to understand, to be sure that I understand fully. Do you mean that you expect the €7 million that you have, if I may say, lost in Q3 to be made in Q4, so that at the end of Q4 there is no more impact? Or do you expect
By end of Q4 we will again roughly have the same effect.
Okay.
And within Q4 there will be basically no effect, and we will fully have regained this backlog at the beginning of next year. So okay. Cell Culture Media. You are absolutely correct in what you said. Roughly €10 million for the first half of the year, for the full year. And you know, we said roughly it were €5 million for the first two quarters each, and it's more or less the same now for Q3 and four, given the fact that business was even stronger in the second half of last year here, and of course also our plans for that business were even higher for the second half of the year. You can say the gap to what we were intending to achieve here for the full year of 2017 will be around €25 million, around 2.5 percentage points of top line growth that we are not going to that we won't achieve because of this significantly later than initially expected ramp up again of the facility in Walkerswell.
Okay, and the situation is completely normalized in the next few weeks.
The technical problems that have been the reason for the shutdown of this facility are, to what we understand, solved. It was an unsterility in the filling line for media. This is solved as far as we understand. And what is happening now is a very, let's say, risk-averse ramp-up of the facility, including a very thorough, detailed, and therefore much slower than initially planned for quality control process. Product releases will be significantly later than the production of the product, just to be fully on the safe side in regards to these products. And again, from a safety first and risk averse approach, I think this makes sense. But of course, it's still a disappointing situation, as we were planning for other scenarios earlier this year.
Okay, and would you say that in 2018 you will come back to, if I may say, normal level of activity on this business, or will it be more time?
We expect. I mean, to put that into perspective, we have been on a, I would say, very successful track with this business. We were able to more than double that business within roughly 3 years, 3 years' time. We expect the availability to be given again next year, but of course, it will take time until we have, got the business back that we have lost this year, right?
Okay.
So we will hopefully enter again into a growth path here, but on a lower level. So let me phrase it this way. So that's my expectation. That's our expectation as of today. And again, as I said earlier, in regards to stock levels, and I fully understand your questions. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, but in regards to the precise timing and how it then best to the best of our knowledge at that point in time will play a role in 2018, I would like to only comment on when we will publish our 2018 guidance early next year.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Daniel Wendorf with Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my questions. One is a small question block, I would say, on the whole topic of the inventory reduction again. Could you potentially comment on how many of your customers are basically affecting you, or maybe also a percentage of your bioprocess solutions revenues suffering from that event? And maybe also as a background question, what in your view is actually driving that in inventory work down? That would be on the inventory topic. And second question remaining, the organic growth in LPS at 7%, that seems to be, in my view, quite a high number. Maybe you can comment on what is really driving this and how sustainable is that 7%, also thinking about 2018 and beyond. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. So inventory, what we see is, we consider this as optimization efforts by a couple of customers, I would say, a good handful of really larger customers in the US as well as in Europe, a good handful. Mm-hmm. And it was a bit, touched upon that by a question earlier. It's difficult really to always have a clear handle on that, but it of course may or should be seen to some extent probably with very high growth rates, very high demand, you would say, in the years 15 and 16. And I mean, we always have said in 15 and 16, don't extrapolate those growth figures because they are not fully, they don't match fully with how the end markets are developing. And we see it now just the same way, but, you know, in the other direction. So I, what, you know, the way how we look on it is really rather in longer terms and average growth rates. And when I, look, even including now the rather disappointing business development and even including some negative dilutive effects like cell culture media, etc., then we are still talking about very substantial double-digit top-line growth in the Americas over the last 3 years on average. And the same applies for Europe, where we see a little bit lower growth now in 2017. So I think the way how we really would always recommend to look on at least when you are a longer-term investor, then, you know, take a look on longer-term trends. We are talking about double-digit growth here, and don't focus too much on single quarters, but even maybe not sometimes on two or three quarters, because they may be affected by such, yeah, temporary effects that play a role here. Sometimes maybe risk-averse stocking, and then maybe a couple of quarters later you see a little bit more an optimization-driven destocking again. And I think this is what we see here, because we don't see any end market related reasons why customers from us are substantially changing their longer term order patterns at our end. Organic growth LPS, yeah, we are quite satisfied with the 7% organic top line growth, but I also would like to say that this is what we, maybe it's a bit higher than what we are saying, but what we are saying is we want to gain market share in our, let's say, existing business, excluding the more recent acquisitions. Those should grow double-digit anyways, but we want to grow stronger and faster than the market in our other product segments, be it lab instruments like balances, lab water systems, pipettes, but also in areas like lab filtration, microbiological devices, and other single-use products in the lab domain. And we see this stronger than market growth rates pretty much across the board here. Therefore, yeah, we are quite satisfied with that, but it has to do with what we were working on over the last couple of years to establish a stronger, focused sales force that is able to generate some gains in market share in those regions or countries and in those product segments where we are performing not up to our potential. And that is basically, I think, what we can see here for the 9 months in 17 and what we also expect for the full year.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Igor Kim with Odo. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I've got a couple of questions. First, on Puerto Rico, as a result of the hurricane, do you have to make some kind of additional or incremental investments to repair the potential damage at your production sites? And second, to what extent it has affected your new capacities at Yauco, new production capacities, which I think should be launched sometime soon. And the third question is on order intake. Could you probably give a bit of a color in what product groups of BPS you have seen most of the growth, or some split in terms of products in the order intake of BPS? Thank you.
Yeah. So Yauco first, we have had relatively minor repairs that were necessary. Our facility has withstand the hurricane very, very well. It has been built up to the highest standards anyways, and that has worked. So yeah, some a couple of hundred thousand dollars that have hit or will have hit then for the full year the extraordinary cost probably, but nothing very significant. That also applies to the new buildings as far as they have been built already. So therefore the damage is really very limited, luckily. Your second question, though, I have understood in what regards we are making progress now also in completing that investment. As I said, as the damage is very, very limited, we are able to continue this construction. But however, we are, of course, taking into account that obviously maybe the weakest element potentially there is rather the overall infrastructure than our facility, and therefore we are analyzing in how far the principle in how we will use that facility and how we will use those capacities over there should be optimized. That means in how far potentially we by ourselves should rethink our stocking policy for finished goods there, in how far we will focus maybe even more on standard products to be built in that facility to become even more independent from a potential interruption of supply chains there. So that is what we are working on. But again, the damage as such there has been very, very limited. On order intake in Q3, we have seen in bioprocessor, I guess that was the question. I would say a very healthy or have seen healthy figures in a variety of products, very much so. Also in the single-use domain, so I would say a healthy product mix that stands behind this double-digit growth in order intake in Q3.
Okay, thanks.
The next question comes from a line of Scott Bardo with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much for taking my questions. So first question, sorry to go back to this, on the destocking effects for bioprocess. I think quite a few industry commentators have talked about destocking effects, but more related those to some sort of management ahead of biosimilar entry into the North American market. My understanding is you're not too exposed to many originator products subject to biosimilar intervention next year. But looking at your Q3, even X-ing out the hurricane and the cell media issues, you look like you had the most significant stocking effects of some of your peers, actually. So can you talk a little bit as to why you have a more profound effects with respect to stocking for bioprocess and some of the other peers that perhaps more exposed to originated compounds in the US? That would be question number one, please. Question two just relates to CapEx, and I appreciate we've talked about this in the past, but I guess it's quite a direct question. Was the rapid and heavy investment that you're making in expansionary efforts, in hindsight, a mistake this year, given that you've seen this dramatic and unexpected slowdown or less, you know, greater than expected slowdown of your top line? Perhaps then you could add to some comfort of why you continue to make these high investments. So they're the first two, and I have a follow-up. Thanks.
Yeah, sure. So destocking, I would indeed not see too much of a direct link to biosimilar competitors to those larger accounts that that have played a role here for us. Exactly for what you say, it's not, we don't have such an exposure there. I would say it's difficult for me at least to comment on a comparison with our peers, because you always have a number of influences. I would say probably our comps have been a little bit more ambitious than the ones of our competitors in the first place. Then you also have different effect probably from larger projects. We definitely have seen a strong element in our Q3 sales last year and overall last year. This has played a role, whereas all of our peers also to some extent have such kind of business in there, but maybe with a little bit different importance in the 9 months of 2017 and also then pretty much versus previous year. So I wouldn't think that we are not performing at least on the same level as our competition when you X out those fluctuations and such transient effects, I would say. On CapEx, I believe that we should really differentiate in the first place the factors that have led to an underachievement of our initial top-line growth and the subjects of our investments. So we don't invest into media capacities, and therefore, for instance, and therefore, of course, there is no link, even though that has a very plays a substantial role in regards to the underachievement of our initial top-line goals. Further, quite a significant part of our CapEx is related to IT, and also to the consolidation of our headquarters, which is also not linked to top-line performance. What definitely is linked to top-line, of course, is the expansion in Puerto Rico. And here, I would say, well, of course, in hindsight, one could say, well, then we will have achieved certain demand levels half a year later or so. But I don't think that it is a question of whether the investment as such is a meaningful one or not. It's rather a question of the timing. And there, of course, in hindsight, one could have said, well, given the lower than expected growth, we could have started that, as I said, maybe half a year later or whatsoever. But I don't think that's a black and white question. And therefore, with the explanation given before, we still believe that it's the right thing to do to have a strong footprint for single-use production, of single-use production for North America.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Just a follow-up question and more of a technical one, please. You know, as CEO of Sartorius AG and CEO of Sartorius Stedim and value creator for both companies, I wonder if you've reflected upon the valuation discrepancy of Sartorius AG and Sartorius Stedim. Perhaps you can share some comments as to why you think that has occurred and whether this has prompted you to reconsider your ownership stake within Stedim. So if you could talk a little bit about that, that would be helpful.
It's a fair point. I've seen now over 10 years basically different situations. We have seen that valuation for Sartorius AG was such that one would have said, well, investors don't attach any value to the non-SSB business in SAG. And then we now have seen a situation for a while where you would say, well, why do investors obviously put a higher multiple to the non-SSB business in SAG or would consider the valuation of SSB in the market obviously being too low. So what I try to bring across by that is that our view on the stake that we should have in SSB is not too much driven by such relatively short-term valuation discrepancies. And it's difficult for me to comment on the wisdom of the markets. I hope at least confirm that the way how we communicate and the level of transparency and everything is so much in line I would say it really depends obviously on how investors digest information and derive conclusions from that, but it's nothing that I think we can directly influence.
Thanks very much indeed for the comments. Appreciate it.
The next question comes from the line of Gunnar Romer with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Gunnar Romer, Deutsche Bank. Thanks for taking my questions. A couple of follow-ups on the destocking again. I was curious whether you can share with us when you have seen the destocking coming in the quarter, because at the Q2 stage, I think you didn't see that coming. Otherwise, you wouldn't have changed the guidance later on. And it's quite a substantial deviation from the plan, from the original plan. So any comments around that would be much appreciated also. Then secondly, what's the risk of other customers or potentially other regions? You mentioned Europe, but it seems as if the effect was a little smaller in Europe. Follow the trend in the U.S. and to what extent you have baked that into the guidance for the rest of the year, i.e. how confident are you in the uptake that you're now guiding in the fourth quarter in terms of organic growth at BPS? Yeah, that would be the two questions mainly.
Yeah, it's absolutely right. We indeed, and exactly as you said, otherwise of course we would not have confirmed our guidance basically after 6 months. The process and the timing here was basically that when we entered into our, let's say, cooperative planning with our key accounts for next year, which is typically happening in the course of Q3, then we also have seen that they were adjusting the outlook for the remainder of the year 2017. And so therefore, indeed, these adjusted figures for the rest of 2017 were really news coming in the course of Q3 only, then already played a role, particularly towards the end of Q3. We believe that for the remainder of the year, also based on the order level that we have, that the outlook that we are giving here is a robust one for the full year of 2017. For 2018, again, as I said, I would like to, as always, would like to only comment on once we have the final results for 2017 in 3 months' time, roughly. And then we will give our consolidated view on 18. But for 17, we believe, based on orders and outlooks, we should be robust here.
And in terms of upcoming planning with other clients, so is this largely done, or is there a risk that you will review the plans cooperatively with your other customers in the coming months, and that we may see further surprises, or do you think that the likelihood is very low?
Yeah, that is always a little bit difficult to to comment on. Of course, all of us, nobody likes surprises, yeah? And to some extent, you could even say even positive surprises nobody likes, because then you would say, well, my valuation was too low at the beginning. Yeah? So that's always the challenge. And indeed, what we see is, because of really a lot of things going on in our industry, and I would say most of them, and very much so, the total and the net of everything that's going on is a very positive thing. But as so many things are going on, and some have been mentioned earlier by some questions also, think of biosimilars, which has driven growth to some large extent, but maybe also have led to some overstocking here and there, and so on and so forth. All those effects also lead, obviously, to a volatility, or in other words, to a more difficult situation in regards to projecting and guiding, short term at least, than we have seen 3, 4, 5 years before. Because I think what you see indeed, that in 15 and 16, where we have been overperforming our initial guidance, and now we are not fully achieving our guidance, this is not so different for basically all of our peers. What I see is that all of us, whether it's ourselves or our peers, we very much have all reason to confirm our longer-term outlook. And I think that all this is in line with everything that also our clients are saying, et cetera, and also other data that are available. But indeed, the guidance in the shorter range is really a little bit more challenging probably at the moment than it has been a while before. So again, we do definitely always our best in setting up such guidances and giving such outlooks. As I said, we feel that the outlook for the remainder of the year should be a robust one. But for 2018, again, I would like to really talk about only once we have the full year's results, and maybe also some additional insights then by the beginning of next year.
Yeah, very much appreciated. Let me just quickly follow up on maybe a different anchor. The very strong growth you're currently seeing in Asia Pacific, how broad-based is that, and what's the risk that inventories are built up here? How sustainable do you view the current run rate or growth rates in Asia Pacific? Because obviously there's a big difference to the other regions these days.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing, and thank you for asking for that, because I think we have maybe talked a little bit more about that after 6 months than today. Asia Pacific has been overproportionately be positively influenced by larger projects. We talked about that also very much a year earlier, pretty much around mid of last year, when we were upgrading our guidance based on earlier than initially expected orders for larger projects. And this is the key thing here, really a couple of larger projects that indeed we are executing at the moment at various customers in Asia. The most important countries here to be mentioned are always China and Korea. I think that hasn't changed very much, but we also see healthy growth rates in other countries like India, for instance. So, and of course, when you have a little bit higher and overproportionate number of sizable projects in there, then you always have a slightly higher volatility of such growth rates. So that's for sure, that's clear. That has been the case, particularly for Asia Pacific also earlier. And this is a comment that I would make here now again. However, we consider the region Asia Pacific to be the one with probably the highest growth prospects longer term, very much so because of fundamental drivers, very large populations there, and populations that also fulfill other criteria like aging societies in China, for instance, increasing available income, another very important factor for the consumption of drugs. Furthermore, some civilatory diseases, whether we like it or not, they play a role as well. Some have to do with, or most of them have to do with, yeah, lifestyle, nutrition, etc. And then finally, also, I think a clear commitment, particularly by the Chinese government, to build up an own pharmaceutical industry. So, again, I would say it's difficult to, you know, simply take a certain growth figure from a certain period and project it going forward and expect this to be a straight line. I would never recommend this. But what we can say is that Asia Pacific has completely unchanged to all of our comments before, I think, a very positive longer-term outlook in this industry.
Thank you very much for the additional color.
The next question comes from the line of Vincent Igune with Pictet. Please go ahead. Excuse me, Mr. Igune, can you hear us? Can you please check if you have muted your line? I'm afraid there is no sound coming from the line of Mr. Igune. I will continue with a follow-up question with Mr. Scott Bardo with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the follow-up. So it just actually relates to Cell Media. You're a pretty small player in Cell Media, but to your comments, have grown quite rapidly in this space. It has proven, however, quite disruptive to your business this year. So I wonder whether the experience of Cell Media and your collaboration this year has triggered any sort of strategic review with respect to your direct involvement in these products or widening your strategic relationship so that you can mitigate any volatility in the future. So I just wonder if there's more to do here for you other than your current JV. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So the comments that I would give here are two. One is the very successful, strong, and profitable growth of this business over the last couple of years before we have seen these difficulties, I think have proven that to have cell culture media as a part of our portfolio makes a lot of sense and is very much appreciated and accepted by our customers. So therefore, that would be the first strategic conclusion. The second one is that the fact that we have been so successful before also, I think, has shows that the cooperation between Lonza and ourselves has been a very successful one. And both of us, I think, Lonza as well as Sartorius, are companies who have really a long-term view on partnerships. And what I can also say is that we have a very trustful and positive partnership, even though the difficulties that we are going through at the moment and the fact that, of course, this is not to the full satisfaction to all of us. So, therefore, this is where we stand. We focus fully on getting this back on track, and therefore, no ideas for either, you know, going out of that business or terminating the cooperation with Lonza. I don't think that this would be a positive move either way.
Just lastly then, please. Obviously, company has a long track record of delivering operational leverage along with top-line growth. Clearly more difficult this year in the bioprocess business, and you touched a little bit upon some of the currency burdens. But as we look into next year, is there any effects or factors that you want to pull out that Sartorius wouldn't return to its normalized trend of operational leverage for both businesses? Thank you.
No, I think, and that is why we were stressing to some extent the impact of the currencies. on the profitability in Q3 and then also for our full year's outlook, because of our cautious management of the cost side, we are basically performing an expansion of our margin, or would be able to perform an expansion of our margin in bioprocess, even though we are growing much lower than expected and at a much lower rate than in the years before. I think that already indicates that the basic mechanism of our ability and the basic mechanism of our business model to transform and translate top-line growth into additional profitability is still intact. Therefore, without being able, as I said before, to quantify this year today, that would be also my expectation for next year, that we again, of course, given normal FX environments, that we should be able to translate top-line growth into additional profitability.
Great. Thanks very much indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by one on your telephone.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I hand back to Dr. Joachim Kreuzburg for closing comments.
Yeah. Thank you very much to everybody indeed for your interest in Sartorius and Sartorius Stadium Biotech. Thank you very much also for the very good discussion here. Looking very much forward to the next conference call for our full year's results in a little bit more than 3 months' time, probably. Until then, I wish you all the best. Have a great day. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.